الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله عنده علم الساعة صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم Last time in my speech, I started the talk on the signs of the day of Qiyamah. And the hadith, the famous hadith of Haditha Jibreel, where Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and asked about Qiyamah, Matasa'ah, when Qiyamah will take place. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied by saying, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alam min as-sa'il." The person who has been questioned, he has no knowledge more than the person who is questioning. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply by saying, "La adri," I do not know, because then that could mean that someone else might know. But he replied by saying, "Mal mas'ulu anha bi'alam min as-sa'il." That every time a questioner would ask this question, the person who's been questioned will always reply with this answer, meaning, "I do not know," right until the day of Qiyamah. But bear this in mind, that our Qiyamah starts the day we depart from this world. So it could take thousands of years for this world to end, millions of years for this world to end, billions of years for this world to end. For us it's irrelevant because we are not going to live here for a million years. No one has and no one ever will. But these incidents of the signs of the day of Qiyamah which I'm going to talk about is not to scare anyone or frighten anyone. Because we're already frightened as it is of everything that's going around. So we already, the depression starts and the anxiety starts and blood pressure starts, and as soon as you get here of another wave and that's it, half of the people's blood pressure goes very high. Now what's going to happen? Since there's enough fear in the world anyway. But bear this in mind, the whole reason for mentioning the signs of the day of Qiyamah is that we rectify ourselves. We reform ourselves, we prepare ourselves. And this is just a reminder for myself and for everyone else. That's why the Sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, when will Qiyamah take place?" And he replied by saying, "What preparations have you made? What preparations have you made?" Now these talks that take place on the Friday, it's very important that we come early for this Friday prayer. Because I'm going to make this very clear, in the Jummah khutbah is in Arabic. How many of us understand Arabic? We know ourselves. We own ourselves. That's why, alhamdulillah, our mashayikh, right from many, many years ago, alhamdulillah, we have these speeches 20 minutes, 15 minutes before the Jummah prayer, is so that at least in our language, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ, that every Nabi was sent to his qawm with their language, so they'll be able to understand the deen. Similarly, in Urdu and English, that is the general language here, it is spoken and the speech is delivered so that we get a better understanding of deen. Now, if we are not here early at 12:30 or 12:35, and we're going to be here about 2 minutes to 1, do our khutbah and salah and go, then unfortunately we are depriving ourselves of so much knowledge. Even if we just take one thing, we'll learn so much. How many of us sit in the dars and durus every week? How many of us sit in the talim every week? Ask ourselves, we know. The Friday is the only day we get a bit of time to learn from the Quran and Hadith. And even then, if you are unable to come, even in the holidays, if the youth are unable to come, then we need to ask ourselves. We need to ask ourselves. That's why halqa of talim at home is also important, that at least our children get to know about the deen and the virtues of deen, the importance of salah, importance of ibadat, even at home as well. Because if there's no talim at home, unfortunately, the only talim they're going to get is from the television. It's from the internet and from their phones. It's simple. And that is not the way of tarbiyat and nurturing our children. Very, very important. Also, time management at home is very, very important. Monitoring our children is also very, very important. The moment they wake up in the morning and the time they go to sleep, we need to monitor them. We need to have a proper time schedule for them. This is time for your education. This is time for your madrasa. This is time for Islamic education. This is time where we get together for our family. Very, very important. Let it not be that everyone comes with their own and their own timetable and no one knows what's going on. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect us. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked that when will Qiyamah take place? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, no one really knows at all, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked regarding its signs. And I mentioned last time, one of the signs Prophet mentioned, أَنْتَلِدَ الْأَمَةُ رَبَّتَهَا, that a female slave will give birth to her master. And I gave different interpretations of this. Where it could be that the girls in the house are actually ruling over the mothers, ruling over the parents. And Muhaddithin mentioned that if this is the state of the girls, what is going to be the state of the boys? Simple as that. Prophet mentioned regarding girls, but if this is the state of the girl, what is going to be the state of the boys? Obedience to parents. Also another translation and tashri of this hadith is that the people who are zaleel, people who have no dignity, no respect, they will be given respect. And the people of izzah and honor and dignity, they will be degraded and humiliated. How many times we see that? People of izzah and honor and respect, they are degraded. Any Tom, Dick and Harry can criticize that person who himself has got no status at all. And that person who is zaleel, degraded, he has no dignity, no respect for himself and others, he's been given a maqam. He's been given a big status. This is also another temple. These are the signs of Qiyamah. And then
Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, وَأَنْتَرَ الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. It's an amazing statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the signs of the day of Qiyamah. وَأَنْتَرَ الْحُفَاتَ, that you see people who are at one time barefooted. Remember, Prophet sallallahu is mentioning this to who? The Arabs. He's mentioning this statement to the Arabs. This is just when Islam has come. You see people who are barefooted. Al-urat, no clothing. Al-ala, poor, muflis. Ri'a al-sha'i, shepherds. Yatatawaluna fil bunyan, and they will have pride over one another in building lofty buildings. These are the signs of day of Qiyamah. In the Arabian Peninsula, all you see is skyscrapers now, big buildings. When Islam, before Islam came into Arabia, the people were backward. They were so backward that there was no government. You know, a sign of a community which is backward, which has no government. It was a tribal system. Every tribe had their own rulings. There was no education hardly. There was no library. Just think, a community which has no library. There was no level of civilization. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes this statement to these people, that a time will come when these very people have no civilization, no government, they will be competing with one another in building lofty buildings. And today you see the oil rich princes in Arabia. One has built that building, one has built the Burj Khalifa, one has built another one in another city, one has been even bigger than, taller than that, and they regard that as something as honor and dignity. If you study the interviews of these rich princes and kings, they'll talk to you about their forefathers and how their forefathers lived. And you know what they will say? They say that our forefathers lived where they would be on sand, walking on sand. They never used to have any slippers. Barefooted. What the Prophet mentions? Antara al-hufat al-urat. They will be barefooted people. And they'll tell you, our forefathers, they had in the 30s and the 20s, they had nothing. No clothing, hardly. Antara al-hufat al-urat. Barefooted. On the sand, barefooted, no slippers. But these same very people, Allahu Akbar, are now building skyscrapers, big buildings, competing with one another. SubhanAllah, it looks like their iman is so strong, they want to prove the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam right. The iman is so strong that they want to prove the prophecy of the Prophet to be right. We all know the hadith. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Another sign of the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet mentions, that there will be surplus of wealth. There will be so much wealth. Prophet ﷺ mentions that every ummah has a fitna. Every ummah has a major fitna. And the fitna of my ummah is wealth. Wealth. Allahu Akbar. That's why Prophet ﷺ mentioned that I'm not worried about you being poor. I'm not worried about you being poor. I'm more worried that your wealth will destroy you. Your wealth will destroy you. Now we ask ourselves, how can wealth destroy me? I've got a beautiful house, beautiful car. I'm going on holiday every year. Alhamdulillah, good clothing, nothing. So that wealth has not destroyed me. So how can wealth destroy me? A couple of things. Either that wealth is not utilized in the right manner, it's not invested in the right manner. Where are we investing our wealth that is destroying us? It's on buildings, it's on cars, it's on material, it's on phones, technology. But what about investing that wealth on our children, on the people? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made effort not on buildings. That's why the Masjid al-Nabawi was, subhanAllah, very simple. But he invested on the people. He worked on the hearts and minds of everyone for the betterment of every individual. That's why the Sahaba would come, a person, a non-Muslim, come to the gathering of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he just look at his face and bring Iman and Islam. He was working on the hearts. In the span of 23 years, he changed the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. In the span of 23 years. I'm here for 40 years, I couldn't change anyone. I was thinking, investing. Money came slowly, gradually came. Time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, time of Hazrat Umar. What did he build? For the public. Hospitals were built. It was not done in Aish and Aram of being skyscrapers and living with gold around and gold chairs and gold sofa settees and gold. That was not, because that was not the purpose. The purpose was the people investing. We have wealth, are we investing on the people? Something we need to really ponder upon. We look, the children are going off the track. Drugs, issues, mental health issues. We need a youth worker. Are we ready to pay that extra 10,000, 20,000 a year for that youth worker who's going to work on the youth? Ask ourselves. That's what we call investment. That's what the person did. I'll give so many examples, I don't have time. Or how we made effort on everyone. And how we invested on a youth worker as well. How we invested, subhanAllah, on businessmen as well. But their business will be the benefit of mankind. We can't even pay £2 fees for a madrasa. We find it difficult. We need to think, are we investing? Are we investing? We have scholars becoming alim every year. Are we investing on them? Because these are talent, these are skills, these are going to safeguard the Iman and Islam of a future generation. Can we invest on them? Or are we just looking for a free bucks? We talk about fi sabila, voluntary, mashallah. Well, voluntary is good, alhamdulillah. But we need to think where we're going. People are investing billions and millions in the entertainment history, which is taking away the Iman and Islam of our children. Millions and billions, they're not wasting their think tanks. They're sitting around, how can the Iman and Islam be taken away? And millions and billions. You take the mobile phone, you take the cinema, you take the TV, all the entertainment industry. Millions and billions. Is it improving our character and our akhlaq and our Iman and Islam, or is it actually coming making us worse than animals? But millions and billions of pounds being spent so that we become like animals, even worse than animals. So that we forget our purpose of life. So that we come under the category of ghafilun. The neglectful people. We become neglect. Why? The money is being invested wrong place. Right place is the schools, education, masjid, madrasa. Our own children. Think very carefully. We need to have these sort of mashwaras. Otherwise it will be too late. Madrasas will be full. We'll have 200 in our madrasa, 300 in another madrasa, 500 in another madrasa, 600 in another school. But we're not getting the... Because we're still not... That's just minimum. Investing means proper investment. But me and you, everyone is responsible. Me and you, everyone is responsible. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. May Allah give us a tawfiq. I don't want to be very explicit and very clear, but I'm just indicating we need to understand. These talks that take place is not just for just listening, to implement. Otherwise it will be the same after 10 years, it will be the same after the 15 years, maybe after 20 years. The minimum wage goes up in different companies and places, the wages go up. We need to ask ourselves in the Islamic environment that we're living in, how much the wage is going up. If you can afford it, then we need to look at it. If you can't, then it's a different matter. We need to invest on our children, invest on the best teachers. We need to train them. Because they are going to be the means of the Iman, preservation, Iman of our generation. Whether Islamic school, whether madrasa, whether whatever. If our children need to go to university, they don't have the money, how can we invest on them? How can we invest on those poor families in UK whose children got so much potential to be greats, take the community forward, but because they don't have the money, they can't spend £9,000 a fee for the, in the university. Is there some sort of system where we can do it? Who's responsible for that system? Someone has to stand up. We've got the masjid and madrasa. They've been there for many, many years now. We need to look forward. This thing sponsoring, mashallah, many people come for chanda here every year. Sponsor a child for Hafiz. Sponsor a child for an alim. And we're doing it, alhamdulillah. It's good. But what about sponsoring many families, even in the UK, who don't have, unfortunately, the financial capability. But we can sponsor them by a child who's got a lot of potential. He's doing GCA levels, getting AA, now going to university. And unfortunately, the parents do not. They need to get a loan. Loan means interest. But we need to look for the future. These are our children all here, everyone. Otherwise, they'll get more money being gangsters. They'll get more money trafficking drugs. £20 for one packet to sell to someone. £20. In just 2 minutes, they can get £20 in 2 minutes. Why, if I get £20 in 2 minutes, and the Maulvi is only getting £7, £8 an hour, bloody hell, I need to go there. Think. I'm not degrading any system, just need to think where we're going. Our children will go where there is respect and honor, when they're getting respect. There's no respect, they will not go there. And whether we like it or not, money talks. I can talk about taqwa for 2 hours and 3 hours. But money talks. That's why Prophet mentioned the wealth will destroy us. Wealth. But if we invest in the right manner, subhanallah. We'll bring subhanallah. Imam Ghazali's of our time. Hazrat Thanvi of our time. And great educators of our time. Great professions of our time. Not only just their profession, but their ta'aluk and connection with Allah will be very, very strong as well. It's a New Year's day, tomorrow, New Year resolution. Have this resolution. Okay, how can we think, have meetings? It's important what I'm saying here. Have meet. Otherwise, 20 years, we'll have madrasa, mashallah, many jalsas, many students. But we need to work on our children, brothers. I'm not going to be here tomorrow, you're not going to be here in the next 50, 60 years. They're going to take the lead. If they have the leadership qualities, then it will be. If they don't have the leadership qualities, what's going to happen? May Allah give us a tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله الذي يضاعف الأجر للصابر ويزيد النعم للشاكر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه. فيا معشر الخلان، إن من آداب المعاشرة الإسلامية إصلاح الجنان باعتبار الشكر والصبر على ما قضى به الرحمن. فقال الحنان والمنان، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. وقال أيضا: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. وقال أيضا: والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: الصبر من الإيمان. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الأعمال ما أكرهت عليه النفوس. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال: لما دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على الأنصار فقال: أمؤمنون أنتم؟ فسكتوا. فقال عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه: نعم يا رسول الله. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما علامة إيمانكم؟ فقالوا: نشكر على الرخاء، ونصبر على البلاء، ونرضى بالقضاء. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: مؤمنون أنتم ورب الكعبة. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن الأمر كله خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن، إن أصابه سراء فشكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابه ضراء فصبر فكان خيرا له. وكان عبادة بن صامت رضي الله تعالى عنه يقول: اللهم إني أسألك الأمن والإيمان والصبر والشكر والغنى والعفاف. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. أقول قولي هذا، أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أرسله الله تعالى إلى كافة للناس بشيرًا ونذيرًا، وداعيًا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجًا منيرًا. وقال تعالى مخبرًا وآمرًا: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليمًا. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وعنِم وبارِك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد، وعلى أزواج سيدنا ومولانا محمد، وعلى أصحاب سيدنا ومولانا محمد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأصدقهم حيان عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وأقضاهم علي رضي الله تعالى عنه، وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنها، والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله تعالى عنه. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم، وخير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله،
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروني ولا تكفرون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات، بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات، وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين واصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم لا مانع لك وشبع وحزن ما هدي ولا معطوان. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما أعطيت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. اللهم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم نسألك العفو والعافية في ديننا ودنيانا أهلنا مالنا. اللهم استر عوراتنا وأمن روعاتنا
اللهم نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ من شرورهم. اللهم إنا نسألك الأمن والإيمان، اللهم إنا نسألك الأمن والإيمان والصبر والشكر والغنى والعفاف. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندم المفتونين. وصلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.